everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Tabletop Crowd. I'm your host, Kristen. I'm here tonight with my special guest, Anthony, and we're going to be discussing their new game, For Our Family, which is a card-based storytelling game, a descendant from the Queen game, that explores the identity and belonging of children of immigrants. I had an opportunity to playtest this game over on They're a Super Geek, and it is fantastic. Anthony, thank you so much for joining me. Would you mind telling our listeners who you are, where they can find you, and then tell us a little bit about your game?
Absolutely. First off, thanks for having me, Kristen. It's awesome to be here. I'm Anthony Nomo. I'm Pinoy XP on the internet. So that's P-N-O-Y XP. That's my Twitter handle. That's my itch page. I'm a game designer and design coach and internet hype person in the RPG space.
I love that, internet hype person. So good. Yeah, I'm so glad to have you, Anthony. So I interrupted you, but if you could please tell me a little bit about For Our Family.
Sure. So For Our Family is descended from the Queen, which means it's based off of Alex Roberts' game For the Queen. And it's a system where it's as simple as a stack of prompt questions that you take turns going around the table and drawing and answering. And all the questions help frame the world and build your character simultaneously as you go around. And you play until usually there's a final question card that comes up where all of you answer it in turn and the game is over. It's very much a very fluid, very narrative, very story-driven framework that I have been in love with ever since I found out about it like years ago.
Yeah, For the Queen is such a great game. And I know that there are a few games that are descended from the Queen, as well as other games that have been using cards and questions as prompts. And yeah, there've been a lot of fun to play. Although maybe For Our Family, maybe fun isn't the first word I think of, but I think of a lot of positive words. It invoked emotion. There was relationship bonds that I felt with characters and players. So it did bring up lots of positive feelings. I am curious what inspired you, like what gave you the idea for this game?
It all kind of stems from questions I've been having about my identity and belonging that I've struggled with my entire life. I was raised on the East Coast, primarily a white suburban neighborhood, like far away from my family in California and the Philippines. And I didn't have a lot of people who looked like me or really shared my experience. And I often kind of felt like I was straddling both worlds. Like after I was born, my great Lola would only like allow my parents to teach us English because we had to speak English because we were Americans. But like one of the ways like I could connect back to my heritage was especially like my mom's cooking, like of course, which is everyone's mom's, like everyone's family's cooking, everyone's like hopefully like matriarchal like connection to food, and it's just so special. It's so easy too, plus like Filipino food is bomb, so it's real easy. But the thing that kind of like triggered me like to know that I was different was I was like 7 or 8, and one of my very well-meaning white neighbors came over and like scrunched up their nose like when my mom was cooking, and just like, oh, what's that smell? And I was like, what do you mean, what's a smell? It's food, it's dinner, it's... And since then, like at that point, my mom started like over investing in like candles to cover the scent, and then over the next like decade or so stopped making it entirely until like special occasions. So realizing that my parents like came to the US to like give me this opportunity for like education, for a career, but at the same time like somehow maintaining our own like Filipino identity, which if you know anything about the history of the Philippines, it's like a history of colonization and identity crisis in its own right. I didn't feel like I had a space to be able to talk about any of these feelings, any of these experiences that I was going through, and especially much less having a place to process all of them. So it wasn't until like years later, when after I got introduced to tabletop gaming, that only like a couple of years ago that I was at Alex Roberts' table playing for the Queen when it was just a stack of index cards, and it fucked me up for like 3 months, where I could not stop thinking about how simple it was, but how deceptively simple it was, but how engaging and how in such a short amount of time you could develop such one of the like most well-meaning and most memorable play sessions that I ever experienced in my gaming life. So from there, I started writing down all the questions that I had about my relationship to my parents, my extended family, and even myself, and kind of talking about it with others. Like I realized like I wasn't the only one struggling with these questions about identity or belonging either. So I found that the Descended from the Queen framework, I could create a communal brave space where people who struggled with the same questions that I had would be able to share and validate and even uplift each other. Like, even as an adult, it's difficult to kind of have these vulnerable conversations, and having it in a fictional context to explore, to experiment can be incredibly meaningful. So it all kind of goes back to when I was born at a very young age. And now it's just something that I've always wanted to develop and always wanted to dive into. And I find game design is such an interactive experience to be fulfilling way to express those feelings, those ideas. And in general, like all role playing, like even D&D can be used as like a medium to explore identity and find empowerment, something like you don't always have access to in another the real world.
Yeah, I didn't know that about your history. So, thank you so much for sharing, which is interesting because my grandparents came to the US. I'm multiracial, so I'm part Mexican, part Filipino, and Irish. So, I
Love it.
completely understand the growing up and well-meaning family members are teaching you only English because you're American. But then you're losing that. You can feel at times that you're losing that connection to the other parts, right? So I can absolutely, as a mixed multiracial person, relate to that. So thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is this the first game you've designed?
It is not. It was the first game that I released. Well, first like of my own game that I've released. I've been designing games since I started playing games back in 2013. But this was the most well-meaning one, and this is the one that I found resonates the most, and I feel very inspired to share. A lot of games I design, I usually just keep with my home group or just kind of kick around, just like on the infinite pile of ideas. Like I just have on my computer, and even there are some games that I have that originally like were a completely different game than were iterated on to whatever it is now.
Yeah. I hope that you will. I know we're not here to talk about your other games, but after seeing this game and playing this game and hearing the how genuine and passionate you are about it, I hope that you will consider releasing other games because clearly you have a talent for this. So I look forward to that.
I hope to. I hope to.
Yeah. Opening the floodgates is hard, right? I feel like getting to that point where something that you have created that is so personal to you and is your work, releasing it out to other humans to play and have feelings and possibly judgments about is an enormous step. I understand not wanting to release everything.
Yeah, and it's part of it is like that confidence with it. The other is just finding a new shiny
Yeah,
and having a new
true.
chasing the new idea. I mean, For Our Family was originally released on my itch page as For My Family, and it was very much a relic of and kind of an artifact of who I was back up until like 2018, 2019. And really the iterations that have come off of it, like, and the people I've gotten to share it with, the people I've playtested with, like, it has been a very positive experience, but it has been something that I've been very determined and very confident about, and knowing I can dive in with all this time and not get tired of it, which I know can happen with like so many projects.
Yes, right? The burnout.
Burnout.
I never want to play test my own game again, that feeling.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So speaking of, so a couple of questions here. One, how long have you been working on this game?
So intentionally, I have been working on this game since 2018. So having all these questions where my design philosophy is especially focusing on how to evoke specific emotions. It's very much being intentional and very knowledge about the impact you're going to have with your work and not just copying and pasting, which is totally fine to do, and in fact, like good to do, especially when you're learning how to design. And it's really just understand, like all design actually. So just knowing why you're doing something, and that's when you can tweak it and bend it to whatever you need it to do. Originally, I was trying to make a more traditional game, like using some sort of randomizer, using like dice, using cards, and just kind of going through. But I always found that every time I wanted to codify something about this experience, it felt so limiting that it was just my experience. And it didn't, like, even though it's very truthful and true to me, I didn't want to impose that necessarily as like an experience to play with and play through with anyone else. I'm not like a lot of games, like I'm not going to come in the box. Like game designers, like game runners and facilitators aren't going to come with the game. So I didn't want that. I wanted to be very intentional of how people took what I designed and used it. I mean, this goes for all designers. Like unless you're make and like art you can make for yourself, but it's also like we're not designing these games to not be played, right? So we hope
Exactly. We hope people want to play them.
we hope people want to play them. And knowing how your work and like your process will affect those people is massive. I think James Mendes-Hodes has a great article about like the multi-headed robot or some like the giant robot, and essentially talking about the impact of your work on how people use it for whatever they might use it for. Just like the argument talking about like whether system or matter, like system matters or not. And my feeling, especially about game design, at least on how I approach game design, is you really can do anything with any system, right? Like, but the thing is, how much work and cognitive load are you going to put on the game runner? How much cognitive load and work are you going to put on the players? Like, especially since I started like relatively late in getting into TTRPGs, like scheduling was never real. Like, I wish I got into this when I was in high school or college. Like, I had so much time. No, I started when we all had jobs, and then a couple of years later, everyone started having kids. So that, to me, being very cognizant of time, being very cognizant of effort and planning, and still having it be a very fulfilling experience, it's incredibly difficult to do. But I find that when people have achieved it, it's like it really stands above the rest. And like I adore designers who are able to do that.
I also think that maybe some folks would look at a game like For the Queen and think that it is easy to design, and you touched on this earlier, because it's questions, when actually I think it's tougher in different ways, because every word counts, right? Every single question counts. Nothing can be wasted. Knowing that, what was playtesting like, and did it help you change or form any of those questions?
Yeah, like playtesting in general is huge to me. I find it so important. And I actually think there's a huge gap because of knowledge of what playtesting is, because playtesting is a skill, and just running a game and then seeing what people liked about it. And it's like, no, you have to know how to solicit that feedback. You have to know what feedback you're soliciting. You have to specify like what you're testing. It's messy and it's hard. And hearing feedback about any of your work is so difficult because, and that's a skill itself, because we're all so personally connected to our work that something that I've learned in my own career that I have to like remind myself as a mantra, but it never really sticks, is like, I am not my work. And it's especially hard with a game like For Our Family, because I am my work. I'm literally my work.
Right, right.
I have been obsessed with this framework, with For the Queen specifically, since 2018. Yeah, Big Bad Con 2018. Mm-hmm. And I have gone through like, I think over 30 iterations of questions.
Yeah. Okay.
And iterations could be like, I change a question here, I change a word, but I just always like version control and save that, just like making sure like, okay, I'm making progress. Not even the idea of progress. It's like, I'm just keeping in mind where I've been as well as where I'm going, which mm-hmm. is kind of like almost like the history of this game, but just knowing where you come from to be able to be comfortable of where you're going. And that's actually where I wrote a guide to designing for these games called Descendants of the Queen. And because it is this, as like you said, it's deceptively simple because they are just questions and index cards, and they're very much leading questions. And these questions can be very easily copy and pasted from For the Queen and just change some words around, change the context. But the challenge of designing Descended from the Queen games is that the final question is binary. So it's usually a yes or no, do you do the thing? The leading questions that you give should be balanced enough in whatever order they come in to challenge everyone and possibly change their answer as the story grows and as the story changes, as the characters grow, to lead one way or the other. Like, I've read a lot of, I especially did a lot of research, like buying a lot of Descended from the Queen games, and there are a lot of really good ones. There are also like a lot of ones that I wouldn't say they're not bad. They're just very heavily leaning towards, you're going to give a single answer. It's like, oh, you're being tortured by this person. And it becomes like a big torture exercise.
Right.
So the answer is like, the answer doesn't become challenging at the end. The answer is like very straightforward. Mm-hmm. So I hope I've been able to do that with For Our Family. And it's actually one of the reasons why I wanted to do this iteration, because I actually believe the earlier iteration of For My Family was very much isolating and very much sitting in those feelings that I was struggling with back in the day. I say back in the day, it was only a couple of years ago.
What is time anymore, Anthony? What is time?
Welcome to Eberron.
A land we fought so desperately for, now a land torn and scarred by war.
Where our paths can never leave us, but we forge a new path.
Where opportunities are everywhere, for those of the guile to take them.
Where we find a new family while hunting down monsters.
This is the Morning Blues, a D&D 5e actual play game released every other Thursday on Beholder to No One. Join our DM Adam as he runs Virik, Jody, Rem, and Mika through their bounties and exploration.
yeah, so you were kind of stuck in, I don't want to put words in your mouth, sorry. What I was hearing is that you were maybe feeling kind of stuck in certain emotions during that time, and now maybe you have a different viewpoint. Is that right?
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, that's exactly right. And to kind of go back to your earlier question, that it's actually through playtesting that I found this out.
Okay.
I've gotten to playtest this. I tried to playtest this specifically with non-gamers, because something I found with For the Queen, as well as just being such a brilliantly designed story, is how accessible it is. Mm-hmm. And how you can have a very deep and fulfilling story within, well, it says 30 minutes. It's never 30 minutes.
It's never 30 minutes.
Within like the shortest game I've ever played is probably the one we played on stream.
Yeah. So we played that in 2 hours.
Yeah.
Right. Hour 45, hours. something like that. If you count the break and the intros and outros. So yeah, about an hour and 45 minutes. And it definitely, I did not feel like it was too short a game, but I absolutely could see how with follow-up questions and conversation and wanting to give these questions some thought, because you have created questions that are so thought-provoking and provide so much or invoke so much emotion. I can absolutely see that game going like 2.5-3 hours. No problem.
Oh yeah. Easy. And the thing is, like, I wanted to test the accessibility. I also wanted to play test its how it resonated with people. The majority of people I tested were BIMPOC, mm-hmm. and any sort of marginalized identity. And I started trying it with white people like in 2019.
Okay. How was that, if you don't mind sharing?
Not at all. So okay. I had two players in the game I ran at Big Bad Con in 2019, mm-hmm. and this older couple, and it really resonated with them and their Latvian immigrant friend. And it made them like think about it a lot and about their experience and how they kind of process stuff. Later, I found out that was Pete Atkinson and his wife, Didi. I found out weeks later, I was like, you're not Pete. You can't just say Pete.
Right. Just show up at the table. I'm Pete. No.
Shook his hand. I was like, oh, thanks. Thanks for coming. Hopefully this isn't weird. Cause we're going to be talking a lot about like brown people's feelings.
Right.
But yeah, no. And everyone I've gotten to play test it with, like, they usually want to share it with their friends and their partners to really help understand kind of that third culture kid experience without it explicitly being like an immigrant experience.
Sure.
Well, it is an immigrant experience, like an Asian immigrant experience. I originally was designing the game hoping that like people would play it multiple times and get different answers and kind of explore different characters and identities. But I found it that when people played it, it was like too heavy, but they always wanted to share it. So something that I've wanted to develop, that I've definitely learned and developed from playtesting and from my own growth and my own work on myself, is bringing more joy into the questions. Like knowing that one of the highest forms of resistance that we can have right now is our own joy. Mm-hmm. And this game is still about survival, and it's kind of still about that messaging. But the things I want to change is having the elders not be a monolith, like kind of differentiating that, making sure, like, we actually got really lucky during our stream and having like a string of positive questions at the end.
Yes, we did.
But like there are other positive questions too, mm-hmm. About like kind of enticing of why you'd want to inherit the family's legacy. Mm-hmm. But it's more about like, instead of longing for a connection that we've lost, it's how do we harbor what we have now? Because I know, as separated as I've been from the Philippines, like I was very lucky to have gone back in the before times, obviously. And it was so refreshing to be surrounded by people who look like me. Mm. Like, I had never felt safer. I have never felt like more seen, or even like if I wasn't interacting with anyone, it just felt, it's like a big weight. And like, a weight was taken off my shoulders. Like, I felt like I was treading water a lot of my life, and I could just finally come up for air and breathe. And it was something that even in a, when I actually got to meet a lot of Asian like game designers and tabletop role players, like realizing, oh, even in like my hobby space, like it is probably like my most joyous moments to be in those spaces and share those memories, and wanting to be able to provide that too, because it isn't just a longing for what we don't have. It's also about finding what we need and bringing that forward and being able to include that into a story.
Was it your trip to the Philippines that kind of inspired you to add more joyful questions? Or was that another, like, what event kind of triggered the let's add more joy to the game?
So it was actually after last year, when we just had a lot of downtime, a lot of time by ourselves, I was diagnosed with PTSD, which oddly was like a relief, because it felt like I had an answer and like a light at the end of the tunnel and a way to kind of treat like all the racial trauma that I had been experiencing and had experienced. And I actually had a really hard time, and I still do have a hard time visualizing what liberation looks like, what joy looks like. And developing this game, knowing that was a very personal project, was also me developing my joy and finding that joy within myself and in the context that I was familiar with. So even in the development of like and design of this fictional space, like it was helping me kind of go through and process a lot of the struggles and emotions that I was dealing with.
I love that. That's such a good, I like that even though maybe all of the joy, understandably, wasn't coming naturally, that you were still able to add some of that to the game. I think that for me as a player, it was helpful because I was kind of on this path with my character, and I was really leaning into, yeah, I'm kind of mad at the elders. They're kind of jerks right now, is how I'm feeling. And it was really easy at that point in the game to kind of lean into frustration, sadness, resentment, and to have those questions come up and in a way be, I don't want to say forced, because there's nothing in your game that you do that forces people, but be, I guess, inspired to start looking at and discussing joy, even if it was begrudgingly at first. I was like a teenager, like, joy? No, I'm frustrated. It really added like this layer of realism, right? Because I think a lot of us, even regardless of our current relationship with our family right now, if you look back at certain moments with honesty, there's some joy there for most people. I don't want to speak for everyone. And so I love that your game adds that, because it just gives this sense of realism and more emotional complexity. And I just, okay, I could go on forever about how much I love it.
it's something that I really, I'm still working on, and will be finalized once the Kickstarter is released and everything comes out. But the idea is like, I don't want to just have, there are a lot of games that do like those very, just kind of the lighter stories really well. Like Golden Sky Stories does that really well. I mean, J-Dragon's Wanderhome, even though it's pastoral fantasy, it still has like heavier tones in the background, but it's still very much not about like struggle and conflict in the way that we think of struggle and conflict in role playing. And I just personally have not been able to get to that point yet, because it feels very disingenuous for me to design something like that. Mm-hmm. When someone gets to any of my games, like so For Our Family, or even some of the games I've designed before, one of the first ones I actually like play tested publicly was something called Adventure Capital. And it's something where I took dungeoneering and turned it into the gig economy, because like you don't have, you're trying to work not to die, you like resurrection's expensive. And I love the idea of just like everyone's laughing and having a really good time until they walk away like, oh no, that's so sad. It's like, that was awful. I'm like, I know, right? So a lot of the games I design, it's like I design, it's like the mind map that I have, and it's like time boxed for that, like whatever it is, and being able to share that that like specific experience that I was going through. So like a lot of my projects and whatever like form they might be shared always kind of have a piece of me in that way. Like one of my shining moments in one of my, in my professional career was I was working at a tech company back in San Francisco, and I was kind of the mediator between like a bunch of different teams for our design system for like all of our websites. So like all of the components, all the other stuff. And like people just didn't like talking to each other, or they were really blaming each other, and everyone had the best intentions. But what I ended up doing was designing a LARP that like tricked everyone to emulate exactly what like the work process that they were doing, and realizing, oh, we are all working through the different success metrics. We don't know what's going on. The only thing that's missing is that we're coming to Anthony and complaining. And then me responding, have you talked to them yet? Which it's wild to think about, but like especially adults are so afraid to talk to other human beings. And
so you know, true.
As an anxiety ridden like introvert, same. But yeah. But it also in my self-interest, I don't need everyone coming to talk to me too. So.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, it was one of those things where I was able to even like, I felt very lucky to kind of have the opportunity, but like be able to bottle that experience and then share it and have other people experience it and kind of shift that perspective and change and look at it from a different point of view.
I also wanted to ask you about the art, because I know that we had a few pieces of art when we played our game, and with it being for our family being such a personal game, what was it like trying to find an artist to reflect like such a personal project?
So kind of the trick to how I was developing this game and how I leaned into the Descended from the Queen framework is that with all of these questions, like I didn't have answers to them, but I can make everyone else answer them.
True.
And that actually, yeah, it was actually enough for me. So one of the things I wanted to do was find like international artists, especially of any sort of marginalized identities. So the two of my artists are actually Filipinx and based in the Philippines, Yorigami and Jillian. I only know them from like email and Twitter, so I hope I'm saying their name right. Yeah. But the prompts I gave them was like, I had a mood board that was like kind of wild and all over the place, but like I just had very illustrative scenes and landscapes. And the prompt that I gave them was like, how would you, it's like, here's kind of the story of the game. Here's how it plays. Here's some of the questions. How would you depict like a culture from like the, how, like, what would you, what scene would you depict a culture as? It was very much that open. Is wow. Very much trying to go like, it could be about food, it could be like some sort of ritual, it could be just nature. But the idea was, it just had to be fantastical. So it couldn't just like necessarily just be photorealistic, and just had to be evocative in one way or another. And I think the artists like Jillian and Yorigami did like incredible work, and I'm so excited to hopefully work with them again and work with some new artists that will come up.
So Anthony, going back to something you said in the beginning, I heard you mention that during the game with the prompts, the players will actually do some sort of character creation and possibly world building. So can you talk just a little bit more about what that process looks like?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you have this communal deck of cards in front of you, or communal digital deck, and you go around and you each draw one, like each prompt has a very leading question, like, when did you know your life wasn't your own? Or when did you know you were different from your family, and do you hide it? Or when do you feel most connected with our family? And depending on these answers, like, it's canon, right? Like, whatever you say becomes a part of the world and whatever you decide. So people can ask follow-up questions, people can make suggestions, but whatever you decide is what is your answer and what becomes part of the story. And through that, just answering those questions, you like, first it's just shots in the dark and you're just kind of saying things. But depending on the answers, it really develops into something like a really interesting story and develops into who the characters are and who the family is. Like, one of the most interesting games that I got to play, like I play tested in the, like in the early days of For My Family, was the family, like, since it was very easily coded Asian, it was like people played against type and like made it so the family was incredibly into arts and performance, and the like the black sheep of the family was someone who went into finance, which was amazing. Actually, a question that Jeremy asked on the stream, our elders did something unspeakable to keep us safe. It's interesting. That question I always find interesting because the closest thing that, and the quickest thing that people always go to is murder. Everyone's like, our elders like murked someone and that's the unspeakable thing. Could have been like military police, could have just been like criminal, could be like, it's just something like some sort of aggressor.
Sure.
An interesting answer that I got to find like earlier this year during a playtest was like a college admission scandal, which like is so fascinating. Just like, okay, in this world, it's like immediately all of us are in the context of, like, we have either a very much an artistic pursuit and expectation, because it is a game about expectations. Mm-hmm. So the questions shift your character and where they sit between that expectation as well as their relation to their elders and their other family members in that context. Something that For Our Family actually does different than any other Descended from the Queen game that I've actually seen is including role cards. And not necessarily like character sheets or playbooks. It's not necessarily like that. It's something that I didn't include until very recently because I felt very strongly that the game had to stand on its own, just like For the Queen, just the prompt questions alone. Mm-hmm. But what I found through the playtesting, all my playtesting, is that it's, since it's such a personal game and such a very like relatable game, people pulled from their own experiences pretty tightly. And especially new role players and new gamers and even experienced ones, like it, you have to pretty much make a very deliberate decision to play against type. So something that I want to include is something that I thought of about the game Sign, which is like a LARP where you kind of create your own sign language, but you still get like kind of a character card that goes with it. So it gives you context. So you just don't make anything up. It still gives you a jumping off point and a conversation starter. So something I want to do with the role cards was have those archetypes, those familial archetypes that I myself have been, that I'm sure you have been, and many of people we know and our family have been, and not necessarily calling them role cards, like you are not this person, but they're labeled how they see us. How are we seen? And that's why I could say like, oh, the exalted. The exalted is the favorite. The exalted could be the baby of the family. I love the fuck up. Because yes. I'm sure like that resonates super hard in a lot of ways. I mean, one of the interesting things about this game is rarely are we ever going to be asked, if ever in our lifetime, to choose our birthplace or our ancestral homeland. And especially for someone like you who is multiracial, like that's like way difficult and unfair by every means possible. But there are so many times in our lives that we have to choose what we take with us and what we don't. Like, I am not going to take gender roles with me when I can carry on my Philippine extradition. Mm-hmm. I want to take that meat eating for sure.
Yes, please.
Like that lechon, that lumpia, let's go. Yes. It's something where I wanted to have these roll cards and just like the rest of the game, structure them with just another prompt question, mm-hmm. just another leading question that plays just like the rest of the game, but is leading in the way that sets up that viewpoint. So having that opportunity to kind of, and these are the only prompt cards that you can actually look at beforehand and choose and see what feels what's right. It's also fully optional, but if one person does it, then everyone does it. It's one in an all or nothing thing. It's just very much being able to see what you're going to get into and see, get a preview of how these questions are going to, how hard hitting they might be. It also gave me the opportunity to be a little more fantastical. The role that I chose in our game was the curse. And it was very deliberate with the word, because of the curse, not the cursed. Because I know a lot of folks, and myself included, at points in time in my life where I have felt like cursed in my family. And it can be taken very figuratively. It's something where I was just like, okay, I want it to be literal, just like the chosen one, even though you're chosen for something. But the idea is that more so than ever, you're either resented for a very specific thing, or there's a much greater expectation held upon you. One of the things that I want to do with playtesting too, and especially since one of the interesting things of people saying oh, they're very tired of playtesting their own game is one of my best friends, I printed her a prototype of the deck and she took it with her to go to some family event, and she playtested with me for me with other people.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Yeah, amazing. Because that way I don't have to suffer that anxiety and look at everyone oh, is this resonating? Does this feel good? Or see what happens. But also, she is very newbie gamer, mm-hmm. but has been very helpful in the development for our family. And the game is accessible enough that since you're drawing and you're reading the instructions and learning how to play simultaneously while playing the game, and it's time boxed, it was so interesting hearing people's experience, because regardless, it was still very personal, mm-hmm. and very literal. But something that I got to take away is that even those playtesters, they had never had those conversations in real life before, or they not in a group more than one other person. And that was just really refreshing to be able to kind of provide that that tool and that platform to be able to facilitate this game. Because the meat of For Our Family isn't just answering questions, it's the conversation that happens around the answers. Getting to know each other's characters and getting to know the other players is just for me, it's been such a gift to be able to do that with so many different people.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you said that, because before I played for the Queen for the first time, and actually I played for the Queen for the first time on a stream, but when I played it, I remember going into it and thinking, Alex Roberts is a phenomenal designer, so clearly this is going to work. But I don't understand how. I don't understand how we are going to answer questions for 2.5 hours. I hadn't done it before. So I played Fiasco, but not the same. Mm-hmm. So it's really about the follow-up questions. Not that the prompts aren't important. They're everything. They're the linchpin. And not that your answer isn't important, but the follow-up questions that people's answers bring up is amazing. I had so many questions for all three of you during our game. Oh, yeah. And I know that a little bit, we were all cognizant of time. So didn't play a true game, but I probably could have asked 3 or 4 questions after almost every answer, genuinely interested in what that person would have responded with. So it definitely is about the conversation. I'm really glad you brought that up.
Yeah, it's and something like that's to Alex Roberts' brilliance, and exactly why like this stack of index cards with no art like fucked me up for months. It's because of that. Like, it's also how dynamic the game can be with fewer people playing the game. With like, it's like you get a very intimate look at each of the characters, and they become very complex, and especially in their relationship with the elders. With a much larger group, what ends up happening is, since you get fewer questions because there are more people, the elders become very dynamic and very complex, and the facets of their identity become very apparent because how they change and how they act with different people. So like, I think Sean Nittner does this like with For the Queen, like in one of his classes, he plays like the game with a whole class of like 20 people. Then he plays a game with 5 people, and you see how that dynamic changes. And it's just one of how flexible and how brilliant and how, once again, like seemingly simple this game can be. But it's also to the effect of like how easy it is just to like read questions, the follow-up questions. I really did want it to be very accessible. And it's so interesting with how you can choose to answer those questions. Because one of the stories I heard from Alex Roberts was she was playing with her sister, and her sister just X'd all the cruel cards. So they just had a really happy queen and really like sweet and loving queen. I'm like, cool. I mean, clearly that's possible if you X all the negative questions.
Yes. I do want to ask you about the Kickstarter. I know, like most folks, understandably, there's not a ton you can share because part of kickstarting is that it's kind of a surprise when it launches. So not here to try to get any secrets from you, but anything about, you know, is there going to be a physical copy and a digital copy or just one or the other? When are you going live? Anything you want to share would be great.
Absolutely. I hope to go live on Thursday, November 4th. One of the reasons I'm crowdfunding this too is knowing that I could provide within my means a very full experience of this game, and providing it as a tool that can really facilitate a lot of conversations and help provide a space, really just provide a space to even talk about this kind of stuff, because it's really hard to. Mm-hmm. Something that about having that tangible copy, like having that very much physical copy and being able to draw it and like from a communal deck that you're all reaching into the center for, is a very connecting experience. So I want to be able to pay for I've paid my artists, and pay your artists.
Yes, please. What, pay your artists
what they ask. Do not hassle them down. Yes, it's a lot, but they deserve it because they spend a heck of time doing all that. So I also want to afford the like more artists. So I want to get that funding to do so. But I also want to print that physical, it's going to be a tarot size card deck. Well, I love tarot cards and I love the size of tarot cards. And I just think that's a whole different conversation about going to that. I wanted to be able to release a physical edition and then having like just really showcasing this, like the brilliant art from these artists, as well as have a digital version. Hopefully it's more than a PDF. That's something that's left for the Kickstarter. But
sure.
As talking about have it being accessible, like I want to be able to have a digital experience, especially in a time where either your group is like globally distributed or it's still, would you have 1 million variants out there? Like, so getting comfortable with remote playing. So like wanting to still have that as an option and still have it be a very fulfilling like platform in order to play. So the Kickstarter is to fund this to be a much more holistic experience than just me sharing like a print and play on Itch. At the same time, like I'm actually going to keep for my family on Itch, and I mean, you want to buy both, that's cool. I won't stop you. But even if you don't need to buy the earlier version for our family. But if you are interested in especially design, if you like, please fund me regardless. But like, if you got a copy of For Our Family and you got a copy of For My Family and my guide to designing Descendants from the Queen games, like that one's free. And you can actually kind of see a lot of my process that I talked about today in actually like pretty visible in the changes that have happened between games.
Before I let you go, please tell folks again where they can find you, where they can actually find your For My Family and your guide. And if there's anything else you're working on that you want to talk about, please tell us all the things now.
Yeah, absolutely. So you'll find it at my itch page, and you can probably find that from my Twitter, which is PanoyXP, PNOYXP. I'm sure you can search me on itch.io the same way. Follow me there and you'll be able to see, follow my pre-launch page on Kickstarter and then get notified once we get out there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Anthony. I know how Kickstarters work. Sometimes the dates move around a little bit. So for our listeners, we will have a link to the Kickstarter page, whether it's still pre-launch or live by the time you're listening to this. So please check the show notes for that, as well as the show notes for where you can find Anthony and all of their games, and also the artists that work on this game in case you want to follow them, as you should, because they are also awesome. Thank you so much.
Hi, hello, it's the Amber at the end of the show. How are you? Me? Oh, I've been better. October has been a pretty brutal month for me in my personal life, but it's starting to get back on track somewhat, and that's why there hasn't really been any what I would call regular tabletop babble episodes, but that's okay. Sometimes life comes at you hard and fast, and you just gotta step back, and that's why you have good friends who help you pick up the slack. So I once again want to say thank you so much to Kristen for stepping in and doing all these tabletop crowd episodes. I hope you guys have been enjoying the shows and getting to hear about new cool games that are in the works and are crowdfunding right now. Be sure to follow Kristen on Twitter at KristenIsNoJedi. And of course, you can follow the show on Twitter at Tabletop Babble. And there's also me, Rocket Orca, on Twitter, where you can see what's been going on in my life. Why hasn't Amber been doing Tabletop Babble episodes? Well, it's there if you want to find it. Anyway, thanks again so much for listening. If you want to help support the show, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It really does help the show out a lot. Gets people to, algorithms. I talk like I know things. I don't. Computers, the internet, it's a series of tubes. Speaking of tubes, if you want to listen to any of Geekspective's content, you can do so on YouTube. It's all there, and you could also help us with our channel growing and also algorithmy things that I don't understand by going there, liking, subscribing, leaving comments. Do all those things. And now my brain has come to the end of its ability to think of things to say. So thank you again for listening to all of this and listening to the show. And I don't know, see you next time. Bye.